Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. I feel like I have a lot to be grateful for. I mean, I have an amazing family, a great marriage. Sean and I have known each other since we were 11 and 12. We've got three beautiful boys, a lovely home. He's got a really good job. I've got all this. Our best friends since we were teenagers live a few blocks up. I'm unbelievably fortunate. So there's all that I'm grateful for. But then there's the whole almost dying thing. And I know I keep going on about it, but it really kind of was a big deal. And if anything, I feel like I downplay it more than anything else. And there are just parts of it that I won't talk about with anybody, really. So gratitude is what brought me here. The almost dying, the wanting to do something with the life that I was handed back. Gratitude heals. And maybe you didn't almost die, but there's something. Right? You're one hell of a rare bird if you're seriously obese and don't have a trauma of some kind lurking behind it, like hiding back there somewhere. Gratitude is like opening a window and letting some light in. I know this all seems a little cliched, but there's a reason that so many people go on and on about it, right? Gratitude's life-changing, and it's a very conscious choice, but it gets so much easier as you go. The thing I'm the most grateful for is my life. And you'd almost think that because it's such a big thing, it would make seeing the little things harder, but it doesn't. If anything, it's made them easier. I still had cable when the gratitude craze started. I haven't had it for like 15 years, but I had it back then. So I very vividly remember Oprah and her whole freak out when she found gratitude. But it started for me in a much more personal way. Someone very, very close to me was very sick, but she was back home recovering for, I know now, one of the last times. And the first thing that she said when I went to visit her that day was that grateful was the best place she'd ever been. And I've been thinking about that ever since. Because grateful is a place. It's somewhere we go in our minds. You can be grateful and still want things to change. You can be grateful and unhappy or unhealthy or unfulfilled all at the same time. Reaching for gratitude in those moments when you're low or struggling is probably one of the best things that you can do. Staying grateful while being unhappy and unhealthy and unfulfilled has saved my ass more than once. Even if it's just basic manner stuff, right? If all you can manage, all you can muster is a thank you to the person who handed you your morning coffee, it's a start, right? It's something. It's so easy to get bogged down when you're losing a lot of weight, right? Because it isn't just the physical weight that's heavy. It's all the other stuff too. It's the pressure that comes from yourself and from other people, whether that pressure from other people is a real thing, or if it only exists in your head, it might actually be coming from the people in your life. But more times than not, it's a conversation we're just having with ourselves, right? But it doesn't matter. It's hard. At least it was hard for me anyway. And I suspect it's probably hard for other people too. When you're losing weight and when people start noticing that you're losing weight, it can be really hard not to feel pressure to keep losing weight, right? And again, whether that pressure is real or imaginary, because even if the pressure is only you telling yourself that other people expect it of you, that's still a real feeling. I'm struggling to think of anyone who was like, you better keep losing weight. But I still felt it when I was congratulated or when people asked me, how much weight have you lost so far, right? We tend to just hear the so far, the implication that there's more to come. But it's something that I dropped down on my own shoulders, like completely. And I didn't have the gratitude thing the first time around. I wasn't there yet. I had manners, right? I had pretty good manners, I think, but I wasn't actively incorporating being grateful into my life and who I am as a person. The second time I lost the weight, there was zero pressure from anybody for me to do anything other than stay alive. That was it. When I first got home, people fell into a couple of different categories. And one of them was a group that I called the Touchers. So if you've been around for a bit, you likely know that things got a little hairy for me in 2016. There was the whole almost dying thing, the airlift, the crash C-section, necrotizing pancreatitis, Ogilvie syndrome, a whole whack of other shit. Sean spent a fair bit of time telling people that things weren't looking good, right? It was very stressful, and it was an up and down time, right? Huge emotions. And it all started with the birth of our third son in 3 years at 32 weeks. So there were three little boys, 3, 15 months, and 8 weeks premature, who basically didn't get to see their mother for 5 months. Our story didn't just pull at heartstrings, it ripped them out, especially for people who knew us or were close to our parents. At one of the hospitals where I was treated, instead of a name, they called me the one who had the baby. And that was how they still knew me 2 years later when I had to go back in for this follow-up procedure. Like, I went in for the prelim blood draw, and the nurse looked at my chart and went, "Oh my God, you're the one who had the baby," which was not the first time I'd been called that there. Once I made it home, people were surprised and very relieved, right? Seeing me was very emotional. Some people just cried, but the Touchers needed to physically touch me to process that I was actually standing there. And it was already emotional because I was there. And I really didn't look, I did not look very good at all. I had hair down to my waist when I got sick, but when I got home, it had pretty nearly all fallen out. And what was left had just been chopped to my chin. Even though I'd lost some weight, I was still seriously overweight, but I was managing to look frail at the same time, which is a pretty good trick. I needed a walker for months after I got home, anytime we left the house. So seeing me was a good thing, but it wasn't good, you know? So things get a little bit taut. And please understand that I'm in no way complaining. I'm so grateful because I really do understand that what they were feeling in that moment wasn't really about me. Me being sick put a lot of people through a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with me at all. I mean, it does, right? But I couldn't control the feelings. What I went through made other people feel. And a lot of it hinged on how people were tied to the situation. Like, people who worked with Sean were absolutely amazing. And yes, they were upset that I was so sick, but they were upset for Sean and what he was going through in a way that some of the other groups of people who were involved just weren't feeling it, right? They'd lost a daily presence in their lives. Things changed for them that had nothing to do with me at all. I'm grateful to all the prayer chains and the congregations from churches I've never even attended in parts of the world I've never been to. So I'm never going to complain about any of those people or the way that they needed to process that I'd survived. Even the ones who had to physically touch me in some way to believe that I was really still here. But it was still hard for me at least some of the time. And I think that's kind of fair, right? Being sick and surviving what happened to me shoved me headfirst into gratitude on more than one front. There was my own, and then there was the gratitude of people in my life. And I'm pretty sure they were all pretty glad that I made it. And it was like weepy grateful for a long time. I would just need to think about how close I'd come and what had happened for the waterworks to start back up. For years, all Sean and I had to do was look at each other a certain way, and we would both just completely lose it. We would just dissolve into tears immediately. We still can do that, but usually one of us will just go, "Don't," and we'll both get things under control pretty quickly. I dabbled in gratitude practices before I got sick. Oprah got me excited too, and then Lisa, with grateful being the best place that she'd ever been. So I tried like gratitude journaling a couple of times, kind of like, I'm already a journal keeper. I kept a diary on and off as a kid. And then I've kept one pretty consistently ever since it was an assignment at university 1 year. I filled 4 journals in 2 terms, and it's been a part of my process pretty much from there on out. my gratitude practice came to me in a very similar way. It was assigned through a personal development program that I took. I just modified the original assignment so that it fits what I need. I think gratitude practices can take many forms. For me, it's a kind of bullet point journaling, like a series of lists. For some people, it's prayer, and that can take on so many different forms. It might be meditation, but it's a practiced, focused, and I think ideally structured, at least semi-ritualized behavior. And remember, rituals aren't just for cults. They're also just something that's done in the same way on a routine basis, right? I did my whole gratitude journal thing pretty much the same time. Yeah, I have been for a while. I did it that way, and I still pretty much do it at the same time every single day. And you can take this for what it's worth, but I can definitely notice a difference in my mental health if I stop doing it consistently. There's nothing wrong with rituals like this. The routine can feel really good. It's grounding and refreshing at the same time somehow. There's a lot to be grateful for when you're losing weight. And the more of it you celebrate, the more you'll have to celebrate. It's little wins. They're key. I talked about it a tiny bit last week, the way each little decision you make as you get your head around what you need to do to get the weight off, each little choice is actually a very big deal, because without it, you wouldn't be able to take the next step or the one after that. I keep using this mountain metaphor, but I could just as easily ask you to think of each of your little wins as a brick that's building a house. You're never going to get to the shingles until you get those cinder blocks into the foundation. And Gladys, if you build houses for a living, and I just used the wrong terminology, I'm sincerely sorry. Please don't send me an email. But you need the foundation. You need all the bricks, the ones around the windows and the ones over by the eaves trough. You need them all. You can't cut 500 calories from your TDEE without learning what yours is. And you can't drop those 500 calories from what you're eating if you don't get a solid handle on serving sizes, which you can't do without understanding nutrition labels. Every step is a little win that's paving your way up that mountain, building that house. So they're all something to be grateful for. All of them. Little wins are a big deal. You need to start looking for them and celebrating them. When you see them, make yourself aware of them, right? You know what's next. You got to acknowledge them. Yeah, it's great that you downloaded the app so you can start taking tracking seriously. And of course, you're aware that you did it, but you need to acknowledge that it's a little win. I know it might not feel natural or genuine. All good. Do it anyway. We're reworking that relationship with food. Self-talk is a huge part of that. You want to be in a positive frame of mind about this as much as you can. And I know it's not easy. Losing weight sucks. It feels like there's not a lot to be positive about. But if you choose to make it as positive as you can, it's going to be one hell of a whole lot easier. Taking steps, no matter how small, is still a step. A large fry is still a better choice than the extra large. 6 tablespoons is still better than 7. And it probably doesn't matter of what, right? Peanut butter, salad dressing, mayonnaise, cheese. It doesn't matter what it is. But it definitely matters that you made the little shift, the small incremental change. It really matters, because the only way you're ever going to sustain a couple of tablespoons is if you make it from 6 to 5 too. And then down to 4. The little wins matter, so acknowledge them. Accountability with little wins looks like actively working towards more of them so that they can build on each other. If you can find ways to celebrate the little wins and make them feel good, just imagine how good you're going to feel when you start making bigger wins and hitting goals. We've been culturally brainwashed en masse into believing that the only things worth celebrating are big milestones, goals. Well, that's horse shit. Maybe losing weight is like going to the moon. Like, everybody's super pumped about the moon landing, right? And sure, it's great that we made it. But if, and I'm mostly talking out of my ass here, but if they didn't have developments in metallurgy and math, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have made it. And there were probably a lot more steps before that too, right? In a lot more areas. We needed Galileo and the Wright brothers and probably several thousand other people with their innovations. But yay, the moon landing. Losing a lot of weight is like that in a lot of ways. It's all about the goal, the big overarching on the scale victory. And that's what it's going to look like from the outside in too. But for you, it's very different. Not all your wins are going to happen on the scale, and you need to start getting good at recognizing them and celebrating them. If you're not in a place where you're ready to open yourself up to gratitude, it's all good, but you need to start with little wins. I know it can be hard when it feels like you're celebrating yourself. Not everybody's good at that. I wasn't good at that. Sometimes I'm still not any good at it, but I keep trying. I had people tell me to my face that it should be hard to lose weight. I'd done it to myself, so what did I expect? Oh, people can say some super shitty stuff. People flat out told me I deserved it. Sometimes in the super cute, like, tough love, I'm just saying what needs to be said. Maybe if it's hard, it'll stick. Like, you'll never want to gain it back kind of a way. Which, okay. Screw all of that, right? It's total garbage. It's not motivating and it's not cute. It won't work. So if you're telling yourself any of that, quit. Beating yourself up isn't the way out. You're not going to motivate yourself that way any more than your darling Aunt Gladys can. Sometimes it's all you can do to hold on to grateful for even one little thing. I want you to try as hard as you can to direct it towards yourself. 3A weigh it. Look for one thing. Even if it's the one good decision floating in a sea of bad ones, make yourself aware of it. Acknowledge it. Don't treat it like a passing thought. Nurture it so it'll grow. Accountability is getting up tomorrow and working towards the next thing to be grateful for. And I know it can feel just insanely awkward and completely absurd. I hated this part, but I really wanted to change my relationship with food, and I knew the food wasn't going to start opening up with me anytime soon. I was going to be the key. So I needed to take a look at the way I was talking to myself and about myself. And you probably do too. The payout is huge. Feeling better about yourself without having to work at it is worth every second you spend feeling silly and suspecting that you might be wasting your time. Feeling bad about myself has never stopped me from eating. Not one single time. You know what does though? The thing that can just stop me right in my tracks. Feeling good about myself. That starts with self-talk. And I really believe that gratitude is the easiest way in. What's the worst thing that can happen if you give it a try, right? What's the worst thing? If you're looking to try something new when it comes to extreme weight loss, I've made a couple of things for you. There's my free guide to getting started for the last time. And there's a link in the notes if you want a copy. And there's my weight loss workbook that you can find on Amazon by searching Disruptor and my name, Charlotte Skanes. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. And keep trying. Keep tracking. Don't be intimidated and don't give up. You've totally got this. Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready so you can start disrupting obesity.